Are you excited, Amber?
Not about doing cable.
About the convention, damn it.
I'm still in the mental set of my day job, because normally at this time of day, I would be sitting in a call center taking calls. So, about the convention? Hell yes.
All right, Danny, have a better positive response than Amber?
Optimism is his thing.
Yes, ask him.
Oh my God.
We've had this argument.
As first time guests, you're being very depressing.
Okay.
You're being recorded for our podcast right now. Wave!
Right now, Wave!
A friend of mine had mentioned that there was this really interesting podcast about cosplay and that I should check it out because I was always complaining that every time I see a show or a news article about cosplay, it's always very particular what they're portraying. They're going to show the really sexy models, which I don't have a problem with, but they're going to show the sexy models, or they're going to show the most ridiculous, goofy, inside joke that nobody else outside of that scene is going to get.
Yeah.
Like Sailor Bubba.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to understand
that. No one gets that.
But they're going to see it and be like, ew. I don't even know what this is, but if that's what it's about, I don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
So, but it's just, it seems so off, and it seems so condescending sometimes, and it's really refreshing cosplay filming, cosplay talks, cosplay articles that aren't that way. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, you'll really like this. I know you're really bummed about how Heroes of Cosplay came out. So, you know, check this out. See how you like it. And it ended up being an episode and Benihime was on it.
Oh, okay.
And,
round table.
I was like, oh, I know her! And I was like, I've seen those girls. I remember watching that costume get built while I was watching Facebook pages. That's rad. Sweet. And then I was like, I wonder if they would come to my event.
And then, I said, I would love to be a guest.
And so I went. And I was like, I don't know who she is, but I'm going to check it out. So I went and found your Facebook page. And I was like, oh my God. She does embroidery. I've never found somebody to come into embroidery. I wonder if she'd be okay with doing an embroidery channel. And I want to see these Final Fantasy costumes in person. I'm a little bit of a geek about it. Like, I might be planning Gao. Nobody knows. But I was like, I was like, this is perfect.
Hey, say hello and good morning, Amber.
Good morning.
There
Ohio.
We go. Ohio. We are running down to prejudging. I probably look really ugly at this angle. Hi.
Well, you look very red because the red artwork is kind of reflecting off of you, making you look more redhead.
Hi. It's better.
It's still a little early in the morning, so it's not well lit where we are.
Yet.
Yet, yes. But we can see down the hall, there's contestants that are very clearly for the cosplay contest coming down.
That we get to prejudge.
Yeah, we're on our way to prejudging.
Yay!
We never did an elevator. Because, you know, Elevator Con, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
You know, it's a good thing I'm left-handed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
so for you guys really quick, these things are pretty much run-of-the-mill. It's based on your own personal scale, but
okay.
20 points on each, 3 more on the back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these two we won't really be able to do until they're up on stage.
Right.
We'll probably have a fairly good idea with some discussion after we see everybody on our lineup.
What'd you think about prejudging? I'm chewing, sorry.
Yes, you are chewing, so now there's all this noise. I felt kind of odd judging other people when I'm accustomed to them judging me. And so I guess that's more of a comment on my own feeling of inadequacy than it is on prejudging. But there were some really fantastic costumes and and I was very happy to see all these up-and-coming cosplayers. Because a lot of them were like, yeah, I went online and watched tutorials. It's like, yes, that is why we do these tutorials, so that people will go and watch them and learn from them and then do them.
For it being a first time that we were there, mm-hmm. it felt like we had been going there for a couple of years already.
Yeah, it was a good, nice, small con, and I know that both of us really appreciate that. That's something that we both really love about all con, is that it feels like a family convention where you just hang out, talk to people, you see someone like five times a day, you just strike up random conversations. And everyone there was so nice and so friendly that you just couldn't help but fall in love with the place. And I know it was a good, fun experience for Amber as her first time being a guest, as well as Danielle, aka Velvet Rose Cosplay, as her first time as a guest. So it was kind of cool being, I don't want to say like the expert, but having been in that situation before and have done it multiple times, it's interesting to see people do it for the first time. It was just like, oh, so that's how it was. I don't remember that.
I admit that I felt a little bit weird with people asking me a bunch of armoring questions, because I kind of sat there with the mindset of, I'm not an expert, I'm still learning, and I will always be learning. So it wasn't so much that I mind sharing the knowledge, I certainly don't, but at the same time I feel like, but I'm learning too. So it kind of felt a little both sides of the fencey.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, it was a good platform to be able to meet other people and hear their perspectives on working on all these different projects. Just because you always spend life seeing it in your little narrow tunnel vision. And sometimes it's nice to break away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And Arkansans are incredibly polite people.
They are. They were ridiculously polite. I was actually talking about the story of when we were getting out of the gas station and the fact that some lady actually stopped in the middle of the road, waved down the driver in the lane next to her to get her to stop so we could pull out of the gas station. I was like, you would never see that in Texas, ever.
In fact, they probably would have honked at me for getting too close to the edge of the road.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, they're letting us through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very helpful because we were getting lunch at that point because we were pretty famished.
Mm.
But, you know, everybody out there is really polite except for the people who use their high beams. You do not use your high beams on the road when there are other cars nearby. Even if you're a semi, don't care. Don't use your high beams, people. Especially those of you who have the really, really extra powerful halogen lights.
Hate those things.
Val kept seeing me flip my mirror back and forth because we kept having people come up behind us with their high beams on and then they would tailgate us even mm-hmm. though we were in the right lane. How does that work? I don't know. So, Arkansans, please teach your fellow drivers not to turn on their high beams when there are other vehicles around. Please. Because I was pretty tired at that point. We didn't even get into GlitchCon until 12:30.
Yeah.
Now a.m.
A.M., not P.M., A.M.
Yeah, that was after Friday midnight.
Morning. Yeah.
Yes. And that was, you know, with very little traffic, too. It was just, it's a long way to get out there. But there were real trees, and I appreciated that.
And there were hills. It wasn't just flat land. We're so used to, around here, just a lot of flatness and very open spaces, which is fine, which is nice. There are a couple of trees here and there, but not in the plethora. Yeah, there's a bounty of trees, quite literally a bounty of them in Arkansas. And the Silent Hill town, which I've decided we've got to go back there.
We were taking pictures, well, she was taking pictures, I was driving, of just literally a tree-covered hill. It was a hill that had nothing but trees on it. There were no empty spaces at all. The whole thing was like diorama tree bush.
And you think like I've never seen a tree before in my life.
I know. Or at least certainly not that many.
it's one of those weird things. As someone who's grown up in Virginia and I lived outside of Chicago, I'm used to certain types of scenery. And since moving down here, I almost never see it anymore. Even when I was going back and forth to school, which was in Waco, there's not a whole lot to see when you're going to Waco. It's just a lot of flatland and farms. So being able to see that type of scenery was nice, and I just wanted to capture it and remember it. And didn't take as many photos as I probably should have, but that's okay. I wanted to actually see them and not look at my camera the entire time.
I was driving. What can I
say? Yeah, Amber was driving, so it's fine.
Yes. One thing I wanted to say about the cosplay contest. Actually, there's a few things I want to say about the cosplay contest.
Yeah, there's definitely a few things. There's more than one.
But the first I wanted to say is that there were a ton of people for whom this was their first contest.
Good gravy, yeah.
And I want to say bravo to them for having the courage to jump in first, because it can be really intimidating your first time to go up in front of a panel of people that you see as experts and try and explain to them why you think you merit an award or why you think your costume is good enough. And that takes courage. And so bravo to everybody who did the cosplay contest, especially for those for whom it was their first time. Mm-hmm. And starting at one of the smaller cons, like GlitchCon, is actually a really good idea. It builds up that confidence, and it builds up that experience to where you don't have to worry about jumping in headfirst at Project Akon.
Which I'm guessing that's what Amber did.
I did everything first at Project Akon. I started my first competition there as a walk-on. I started teaching all my panels there. I didn't start small. I went into the deep end of the pool, looked down at it, freaked out, and then jumped off the diving board.
I started small. I went to like the 2,000 person con for my first contest, and then I jumped to the 60,000 one like a month and a half later. That was probably not a good idea, but I got cool crap out of it. And then I did the same thing with panels too. I started at Anime Fest, which, you know, it's such a tiny, tiny convention, more than what, you know, some of the smaller ones, but way less than Akon, and then just slowly started building up from there. To each his own.
The next thing that I wanted to say is that I'm really proud of the contestants for basically bringing their passion with them to the cosplay contest. Everybody was really excited to tell us about their costumes and the parts that they loved about them.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness, because nothing sucks more when you're a judge, and I've done this a couple of times now, than to sit there and have someone talk about their costume and have zero interest in it. And it's like, really, you wanted to wear this. Tell us why you wanted to wear this. There's a point to this, right? Right? You should be loving your costume. So love your costume, dang it.
Definitely. Love your costume and love wearing it, love making it, and love competing in it.
Exactly.
And it will show. I promise you, it does show if you love it or if you don't. We can tell.
Absolutely.
So, you know, bravo to those who were, you know, bringing their A game and bringing their passion with that A game. It made it all the much, well, all the muff. Let me try that again. It made it all the better for us as judges.
There we go. All the much better.
I was going to say much improved experience, but I was like, no, you can't really. No, that doesn't work. Much better. So, thank you for doing that. On a personal note, as a judge, the armor. Oh, the armor. Oh, I loved the armor. And I did give my judge's award to the Orbital Drop Shock Trooper, just because he just really wowed me with his work in Evafoam. And Evafoam is not easy to work with. And not easy to make it look good. Every edge on that thing was sealed, man. I sat there and wondered how much patience it had taken to make that. And I'm sure it took quite a long time. I mean, my own armor takes me a long time, too. But I also really, really liked Alchemist Poison Ivy. Not just for the light-up bits, which I really did like the light-up bits, just as somebody that likes to make things light up. But detail. I mean, it wasn't even just the two of them. All of the guys that had armor, just from when I started competing to what I was seeing at GlitchCon, man, we've come a long way as a cosplay community. And just all the different things and all the different ways that people are just improving. Now, I had to squee over the armor that was brought this year, and even a lot of the embroidery, just the detail work this year, really made me a very happy cosplayer and a happy judge. I admit, I know you've done this before, so so just as somebody who did this for the first time, judging is intimidating.
It can be, yeah. It can be very intimidating.
It's really, really hard to judge cosplayers against a very relative scale and not necessarily against each other. You're judging it based on a personal scale for which I didn't even have goalposts. I didn't even have any sort of, you know, this is a 10, this is a 15, this is a 20, or, you know, this is a 0, this is a 100. So I was a little lost at first, and I was kind of a little intimidated, thinking, well, am I giving them the appropriate scores that I would have given them knowing more relative where they stood? So that was hard. Mm-hmm. It really was. I still agree with our choices, with the way we ranked them, but the process of getting there just kind of made me take a moment going, ugh, okay.
It can be daunting. It can be very daunting because you have your own set of standards, and that's also why they like to pick different types of judges. You know, somebody with an armory background, somebody with an embroidery background. So everybody can have a say in, okay, this is how we should rank them. And we all have different expertise, different styles. So it just meshes a lot better that way versus, you know, four people who only know about armoring and armoring alone. And it's like, well, that's not going to be fair to anybody else but the people who make the armor.
My best guy knowledge came in handy.
And it's kind of funny how all of us have such different techniques. Like, you were talking about the guys in the fursuits. Like, the things that you were talking about, I never would have thought of before. And that's why it made me even more impressed that one guy, that was his very first fursuit. And he was able to do all that work for a first-timer. It was like, whoa, that's really cool. And I had to make comments about the ones who were replicas from television shows, like the one I chose for Defiance, because I knew from that character and having met people who worked on the show, my brother has made the freaking game, I knew that that would have been appropriate fabric. What she did would have been perfect for the character. And it's just like, all of us with different backgrounds makes it that much cooler. And that much harder to pick people.
It is. I mean, for some of those cosplayers, I kind of felt inadequate myself. Even though, yes, I'm hard on myself. I'm aware of this.
Yes, you are.
We're all hard on ourselves. But I'm particularly hard on myself just because I have such high standards. And, you know, there were a couple times when I would have people walk up to the table and I'd be sitting there going, oh, there's no way I can do that kind of work. What am I doing on this end of the table? You should be on this end of the table. I should be on the other end of the table. And you know, it's just kind of part of that intimidating thing. And I think part of that is because, yes, this was my first time judging and being a guest. So now I have it under my belt. But it's just kind of, it made me a little nervous, I admit.
Yeah. Oh, I could feel your nerves. I could feel Danny's nerves. And I just between CAGs and I was just like, okay, whatever. Let's do this. We got it.
Done this before.
Well, what's cool, I really liked this year, was how they did the judging forms and the fact that we could write feedback and comments to the contestants and they could pick them up afterwards and read what we wrote. And I thought, that was pretty damn cool, because that's the one thing I always hate about costume contests is lack of feedback. I have zero idea if what I did was good, what I could improve upon, if my stuff was crap, whatever. I mean, I will sometimes go up to judges afterwards and say, you know, thank you for judging, or if I have like a half a second with them to ask them, you know, what can I do to improve my costume? But that's such a rare thing to happen, because usually by then they are so tired and they just want to get the heck out of there. I understand completely, because we totally were in that mode too. So having those forms there and we were able to make more comments, it took a while for us to go through more contestants because of this, which I felt really bad about. I know they're trying to be short and quick, but getting that ability to actually write down what our thoughts were and how people could improve, I thought that was so cool, and I hope they continue doing that in the future. That would be really cool.
And for those, if you read your judges sheet and we didn't leave you a comment, that doesn't necessarily mean it was bad. It may simply mean we didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time we were kind of pushing. And so if we took more time in one section, that really took away from the time to write comments in other sections. So we did the best that we could, and we tried to be constructive, mm-hmm. so that if we had a critique, we said, here's how we think you could improve it.
Exactly.
Because there's always room for improvement, so.
Yeah, and there were a couple of people who entered who just wanted to enter and show off their work, like they had a bot costume, which is fine, which is totally cool. In those cases, you know, it's really hard to critique the costume, but instead I went ahead and critiqued the performance. So, I mean, there would be differences all over the place. And on that note, if anybody who was in GlitchCon didn't get their comments sheets back, or if they don't understand some of my really crappy handwriting because I was going really fast writing everything down, feel free to contact me. I'm not going to extend this to Amber. Amber can choose if she wants to do this or not. But feel free to contact me if you want more clarification or if you have questions. I have no problem extending my feedback and helping people out. So go for it. If you have questions, ask me. I don't care. I want to be helpful.
Well, I mean, people can always, you know, message me and ask me questions anytime, not just about judging, but in general. But my handwriting is rather legible, so it
won't
be.
Yeah, you got the fancy handwriting.
I write like a teacher. What can I say? But people are always welcome at any time to message me about anything cosplay, and I answer very quickly.
Yeah, the only thing is that
I'm online.
Yeah, the only thing is that I won't answer questions about, you know, why did I pick this person over this person. That we won't do that. It's just constructive criticism about your costume and your performance. That's it. Just to be clear.
Yeah, you really don't want to spend time second guessing the judges just because it's not constructive.
What's been done is done. We can't make changes to it.
And we spent quite a bit of time between ourselves, both after the prejudging and during the contest, basically agreeing among ourselves how we wanted them ranked. And, you know, there were only a couple of points between a few of the contestants. And
exactly.
It came really close, and we kind of had to agonize over it. So, you know, basically in the end, we came to a consensus, and that was the best we could do.
Mm-hmm. That's how it usually goes.
But overall, it was a very good experience, at least as far as the cosplay contest goes. Kudos to Peter Pixie, by the way, for keeping us on time in the cosplay contest. He did a really good job. Yes, he was very entertaining. I really like him. And even out of character, he's a very nice guy, because I actually talked to him a little bit in the elevator. So that was cool. It was a really solid experience being a guest. I would do it again in a heartbeat for any other con. Even, you know, judging anxiety notwithstanding, I would still totally be a guest again. So, you know, cons, if you would like to invite us. No. But I think the other thing that I kind of liked, and I know this isn't going to last for much longer given our podcast, but I liked not being so famous that we were mobbed, unlike a couple of our fellow guests a lot of the time. But we could kind of walk around in anonymity, even as guests, and that was kind of awesome.
It's kind of cool, and you know what? It's like that at certain conventions, too, like the most recent Dallas Comic Con. There were a couple of costume guests there who I had never heard of. I had no clue who these people were. And that was totally fine. They were able to walk around and do things like a normal person, and nobody mobbed them. So it's kind of cool to have that little bit of anonymity. Not everybody knows who Yaya Han or Jessica Nagiri are. So they can have a little bit of time to themselves, as rare as that may be.
Yeah, they're actually quite a bit more famous than we are. So it's nice having just a little bit of cover to where we can walk around and we don't have to worry about constantly, you know, having some sort of like a high standard or expectation of behavior.
Kind
of
sure. Nice.
Although, you know, given how popular we're getting very, very quickly, which thank you guys, incidentally, for spreading the show, because we have spread a lot farther than we thought we would.
Than we anticipated, ever.
Yes. So we're actually growing more and more famous a lot faster than we thought we would. I don't even think we ever thought we'd really be famous. It's the internet.
I figured maybe 100 people tops would watch us.
Yeah, I mean, there were people who came up to us at GlitchCon and were like, we love you guys, we watch your show. And we were like,
really? Why?
Well, no, I didn't think why.
Well, I do. I think it all the time.
I was like, wow. I mean, we really do have fans everywhere. And it's really humbling. And it's really fantastic, too.
It's really cool.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure that they can attest that we are just as zany in person as we are on the show.
Yeah, we're pretty. We tend to keep it pretty real. We're hardcore.
Yeah, these aren't personas. This is us in real life.
Yeah.
Unless I'm at work, and then I tone down the zany just slightly.
Then I go into quiet mode and tell everybody to leave me alone. I have more things to add. Have to add more things about GlitchCon.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
What's that supposed to mean?
I didn't really have a segue. I was trying to come up with something, and I just came up empty.
Yeah, you have no segue this time. Sorry. Segue broken.
I blame being sick, because I really have been sick all weekend, and it has not been pleasant. I have spent most of my weekend in bed, and not because I wanted to be in bed. So, brain no worky this episode.
That's fine. I've been intentionally lazy all weekend except for this morning. I have just been like, whatever, don't care today, blah. We had a table at Artist Alley, which was a first-timer for me. I've never had a table before, so it was kind of weird. And Amber and I went back and forth, and she decided we should probably make DVDs with a couple of our episodes on. You guys know about this. We prompted you all to suggest some episodes for us. We made about 50 of them, 49 because one
we
of them
made 49 because one was
one
a
was dud. But by Saturday morning, they were almost pretty much gone, which shocked the crap out of me. Because GlitchCon is maybe 1,000 people, if that. I would be surprised if it was that many
Bobby
people.
Scarborough, if you are watching, please confirm the attendance of GlitchCon for
us. Yeah, please give us some numbers for that, please. But to see them go that quickly and all our business cards were gone, I had to restock them twice. I might have to already order more business cards for us. I mean, I was surprised at how quickly they went. And I got a lot of business cards, too. So yeah, that was shocking and really cool. Very
that
surprising.
Was mostly those were meant to kind of spread the episodes or spread the show, as it were. For those mm-hmm. who have never seen us and have no idea what CosPod is, we basically put together a sampler of 6 of our more representative episodes
mm-hmm.
and burned them to DVD so people could watch them. And unfortunately, next time we will do this. Next time we will burn nicer DVDs with menus. We tried that this time, and it just took too long because we had to speed burn 50 DVDs in a week. In fact, under a week. It was more like
under a week.
Yeah.
I
had 2 computers going at the same time burning discs just so we could get them done in time. So next time, if we are invited as guests to a con, if we do this again, we will have the nicer DVDs with menus and labels.
And labels. I had really nice labels. I liked my labels. I made coo ones.
Yes.
I also appreciated the fact that for the first time ever, I had my runway panel before the cosplay contest. Because every time I've taught that panel, it's been on a Sunday when it's of zero use to everybody. And it's like, well, fudge nuggets. I can't do squat with this, so we'll just roll with it. This is the first time that it's been done before the contest, and I actually made alterations to it, so it focused more on the actual presentation, less on the judging. I think we've got all 3 versions of my panel up on CosPod now. I need to start doing different panels. But it was really cool being able to actually teach that panel, and then the next day have 5 people that I remember seeing in the panel in the contest and follow my advice. And it was just the student has become the master. It was very, it was very Karate Kid moment for me that it was just wow. People listened to me and their presentation was a million times better because of it. Thank you for listening and holy crap. I'd love to see more of that in the future. I would love to see that.
I was actually really proud of Peter Pixie. Particularly because he was prompting cosplayers to stop.
Stop. Thank you.
And to give extra poses. And it wasn't just for photos. It was so that people could enjoy all the different perspectives of your costume because, it's as much an entertainment event.
Mm-hmm.
It's as much, kind of a performance for the audience as it is, parading around in front of judges. It's mm-hmm. not just us watching. I mean, come on. We had Vic Mignogna sitting 10 feet to my right. I mean, there were celebrities in the audience who were watching, too, and they came for a show. So
he was
what
right
do we do?
Here. I could touch him.
Well, Kakashi played off of him in the skit, which
perfectly.
If you guys have not seen the video of the cosplay contest, we have it up. It's on our YouTube channel that you are watching right now. I think it's about 3/4 of the way through where you see the one skit entry, and it's by Kakashi, the character. So give it a watch. I know, and I apologize in advance, that we could not turn the camera to follow him because we were sitting behind the table and I was not behind the camera, but you can hear it, and you can generally see him. So it's highly entertaining, and that's kind of what we mean by putting on a show. It's it's for the audience.
That's really what this is about. The audience is there to see you in your costumes. They want to see the characters come to life. And that's the one thing that I've heard from WonderCon that has stuck with me over the years from the cosplay director there is you are there to put on a show. You're there to entertain people. So that's what your job is. If you can do that, you're sold. You're done. You don't have to do anything else for the rest of the day. It was fun. And even if we don't get a chance to go back to the Glitch Tongue, let me start that again. My tongue left me. If we don't get a chance to go back to GlitchCon as guests, it would be fun to at least attend again, even as media or whatever. It was nice. It was relaxing. It was just a lot of fun. And I think the most memorable thing for me was just talking to people and getting to hear why they got into cosplay and why they chose this character. That, to me, was so much more entertaining than anything else I did over the weekend. That and kicking Danielle's butt in Mario Kart. Which I did very, very well.
I was a little bit sad that I didn't quite have the time that I wanted for gaming. And part of that was simply the act of having to get into costume. And part of that was because, unfortunately, I actually did get sick Saturday night after the cosplay contest. I was really hoping to go gaming that night, too, and was not feeling well. So I ended up staying in the hotel room. So my hope is that if I go back, guest or no, I am taking my Magic the Gathering cards with me and I am playing a game. Even if it's against myself, I don't care. I will play.
Next time I need to bring Boss Monster with us. So if we are ever alone in the room and we have nothing to do and there's nothing on television, I am whipping out Boss Monster and we are going to have awesome epic card time.
I will say, speaking of video games... Mm-hmm. That next year we will have another iteration of Super Smash.
Yep, we will.
And I am looking forward to that thing, man.
Good.
I'm not that much of a video gamer, but I do enjoy co-op games like that. And it's really kind of getting me excited to see this next Super Smash. So, you know, I really would love to go back next year, schedule allowing, you know, PTO allowing at work, because I ran out of PTO for GlitchCon, which is why we got there late. So hopefully next year, you know, that will be taken care of. And I know not to bring my workshop for panels. I will now start building PowerPoints starting next year for whatever I teach so that I don't have to bring as much stuff. It just means I have to film myself more.
Yeah, I think you saw how little I carried with me. I had my one suitcase and my cooler of food because I'm on a special diet. You see how easy that is by comparison?
It is, but there are, to be fair to myself, there are also certain panels that are easier to teach without props,
sure.
Without things.
Sure.
So something like a performance panel is a little bit easier than teaching something like drafting patterns, mm-hmm. for which basically I brought a bunch of pattern making materials. I think in the future I could, you know, slim that down quite a bit so that I'm not dragging around the duct tape piece of myself.
Right.
With me. I could probably take pictures or film video of it. Although there was no projector there. I will have to procure one if I expect to do that.
Yeah, see, that was my concern because for my runway panel, I do have a PowerPoint that goes with it because I show videos of other presentations. And if I felt comfortable enough to take my laptop with me, I probably would have. But in this situation, because I didn't know if there was going to be projectors, I didn't know how things were going to be secured, I didn't quite know what our schedule was going to be like, I didn't feel comfortable carrying my laptop with me all day long. That was just not going to be feasible and still do press duties at the same time. So I was like, okay, I can do this without my laptop. It's going to suck, but you know what? It'll be fine. By the way, really quickly, Ava Birch, I saw your comment about the judging sheets. If you have a chance, contact Kagzilla. She may still have a hold of those, and she could probably give them to you over email or whatever. But yeah, you're more than welcome to contact us if you would like to hear our feedback, too. We are all for sharing that.
And I do watch your page.
Yes, we all watch your page now.
I watched it separately on my own account.
Same here.
Because I was so fangirling out over the armor, and I'm such an armor person that I was like, ooh, I need to learn from this person. She has things she can teach me.
We were both laughing, actually, when we were looking at your photos, when you were talking about the petals and stuff. Literally, like, 2 months ago, we were making our Korra costumes, and all of our photos look exactly like yours as we were doing the petals for our Kanzashi. We were just like, hey, these look familiar.
It looked almost exactly the same. The only difference was color.
Color!
But otherwise, everything else looked exactly just like the Kanzashi flowers, the hibiscus. And the morning glories I made for our costumes for Project Akon. And I was like, I gotcha. I see you.
It was so funny.
Oh, it was one of those things. We will have a new rig by next year.
Yes.
We will not be carrying around our big rig anymore. And it will be less to carry around, hopefully, depending on what it is we get.
We've been looking at a couple of things.
Yes. So keep in mind that, no, I'm not pushing for donations. For those who do, Alan, don't. No. For those who have already given or do donate, we are a not-for-profit. Every cent goes into the show's equipment and or, you know, web hosting fees. We do not take any of it. Nope. We don't touch any of it. So, you know, rest assured, we're not doing this for the money because heaven knows we're both not rich.
Heck no, I've got enough student loans to keep me satisfied for the next 20 years.
Yeah, we do this for the fun and for the entertainment value because it is very highly entertaining.
We entertain ourselves. That's all we need.
Oh, the road trip was freaking hilarious.
Oh my goodness, especially on the way back. Oh, that was so funny. I told Amber I would be a good road trip buddy.
Yes, and I am also a very good road trip buddy. I can be my own source of entertainment for 6 hours.
Yep.
And I can entertain everybody else for 6 hours, so.
You definitely did that quite well.
Even when I was tired, I was still entertaining.
You were very entertaining.
But I'm very, very glad it was not recorded.
It was probably a good thing, but the memory card went stupid. So.
There were dirty jokes made. I did not intend them that way, but they were made. I was very
tired.
It was whatever it took to keep us awake since we were driving 2.5 hours past my bedtime. There was much caffeine to be had and lots of AC to keep me awake.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, I would totally go back. Guest or not, that's fine. Don't mind. It was fun.
And it was a lot of fun.
In the same vein, I would like to explore other cons like that in this area, in, you know, the Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas area.
Sure.
I would love to expand my convention schedule to an extent. I can't promise that either of us can do it as often as we would like, just because it takes time off of work, which we both work full-time, and it takes money, and we're both not flush with cash. But if you guys know of a kind of small-ish con, you know, somewhere, say, under 5,000, that makes it pretty small, that, you know, you find particularly entertaining, let us know, and we will see about going to visit. Now, it needs to be within driving distance, preferably. So, you know, no farther than Springdale, certainly, because 6 hours in the car is pretty rough. So, you know, you guys are always welcome to give us convention ideas. And we're happy to show up at your local con.
Amber's more the local person, I'm more the out-of-towner.
Mostly because I don't want to have to worry about flying. Because flying adds its own issues.
It has its own type of tactical maneuvering, which is why And again, this is why I told you and Danny to leave your complicated costumes at home. It made your life so much easier, did it not?
I actually could have made do with some of my other costumes.
You probably could have, but then you would have been miserable after a while, and I would have been yelling at you.
No. Not really. The packing, there would have been a couple of extra boxes, but we also had space. But I think it's more that I was glad that I didn't have to worry about wigs this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Although that will not happen next time because one of the costumes I retired at the con. And that was just because it was made 6 years ago and I'm not the same shape I was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I was still in... Actually, no. I was not in college 6 years ago. It was more than 6 years ago when I graduated college. we're old.
Yeah, you know how it goes. And Alan, to answer your question, I have been to West Coast cons. I have been to WonderCon. I have been to Fanime twice. I would love to go to Comic Con and Anime Expo. However, you know how impossible it is to get tickets to Comic Con. So if I can ever get tickets to it, I would love to go. Just a matter of getting the tickets. And then Anime Expo is just on a very weird weekend where either I have to work or I don't know that I don't have to work until like the week before. So it's kind of like, and by then I can't plan squat. This is assuming I still have the same job next year. That may very well change pretty soon.
I was out making money. I actually looked at doing Expo and then the symphony called and said, we need you to play. And I said, well, I can either choose between spending a bunch of money and going to Expo, assuming I can get the time off of work, or I can go play with the symphony and make an extra paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I ended up playing with the symphony and not doing Expo, which ended up being for the better since 2 weeks later I had San Japan, and then 2 weeks after that I had GlitchCon.
Mm-hmm.
So my checkbook was not terribly happy with the fact that I had multiple things back to back to back, but it was a little less unhappy since I had that symphony paycheck in there.
Right.
So that helped. As far as going to other, you know, far out cons, I would love to go to things like Expo, like Dragon Con, like PAX. They just fall on weekends where it's very difficult for me to get off of work because they're holiday weekends. And so not only would I have to take time off work, I would have to finagle it to where I was not on call that weekend. And since everybody else doesn't want to be on call on holiday weekends, which I can understand, basically whoever draws short straw gets it. And we don't find that out until pretty close to the weekend itself. And for those kind of things, you have to schedule your flights and your hotel pretty far in advance.
Yeah, something for Dragon Con, PAX Prime, even PAX East is getting to that point now. You literally need to schedule them a year in advance. I mean, Dragon Con hotel stuff goes up within 2 to 3 weeks after Dragon Con ends.
And they sell out that day.
Thinking about it. Yeah.
They sell out within hours that day. And since they hold those things during the day, might I add, they do the ticket sales and the hotel sales during the day. I work at a job where I can't do that. If they do these things during the day, like PAX South went on sale, I think at noon on an off day. I think it was a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even find out about it until after work, after most of the weekend tickets. In fact, I think all the weekend tickets had sold out by the time I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work for a company where you can't browse that sort of thing while you're at work.
They did it on my lunch break. I literally had just gone to lunch. I had 5 people text me as it came up, and I was like, freaking A, and I had to do it all on my phone.
Yeah, so there are some mitigating circumstances where I can't, while I am working this job, or at least not while I have those factors to worry about. But I am taking a security test at the end of this month for what is considered the gold standard of security certifications. So if I pass, when I pass, then I should be able to... this is probably one of the hardest certification tests there are. And not that I haven't been studying hard, but the test is hard. It is a 6-hour test.
Sure.
That's 250 questions. So I have to pass or I'm going to be eating $700.
Mm-hmm.
But I should be able to move up in the job world if I have that. And that will help with the scheduling thing, I think. I will be a little... more flexible in terms of PTO, and that will be nice. And I get to make more money, which is always good when you have a hobby like cosplay and videography.
Yeah. Whereas I
dig that Eva messaged us, and she had to fit Ivy in a very large plastic tote. And I actually store all of my costumes in paper boxes for right now, mostly because I'm waiting until I build up the funds to just buy totes for all of my costumes and all of my closet storage, just so I can store everything in something a little bit more sturdy than a paper box, which I have found does not do very well in the rain.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've got 32-gallon Rubbermaid bins. One of them is all of my paint and dye supplies, and then the other one is all of my fabric. And they work perfectly. They're great for, you know, saving of the space, because I don't have a whole lot of it here, even though I have two closets which are now completely full of costumes. I wonder why.
I'm retiring a few of mine so that I have space to put more in, but that doesn't stop the fact that if I want, like, real armor, that's not going to fit in a paper box.
Right, exactly.
Not unless I somehow invent folding armor. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. No, that won't happen anytime soon.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend my time on it just because it's not feasible. Cams are good enough for me, so I'll work on that.
All right, so overall, thumbs up or thumbs down on GlitchCon? I think we give thumbs up.
Yes.
We enjoyed it, and I would like to go back again. It doesn't have to be as a guest. I just hopefully that we can make it work so we can go back again just to scope it out and just have fun and relax.
And I think it's on the same weekend next year.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
That it was this year. I want to say it's the 31st through August 2nd next year, so I think it's one day off.
Okay.
But there's another con that's moving to that weekend. San Japan.
Oh.
San Japan is on that weekend, I believe, next year. And their schedule goes all over the place for the next 4 years.
Yeah, they jump.
I think it's with hotel. I mean, if I had the choice between the two, well, I'll have to make that choice next year, I think. So we'll see what happens. I know that there's a lot of cons going on that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on summer break. No cons for me until mid-October. Which is why I'm going to have time to work on cosplay. I will have just enough time to hopefully finish my Ranger, and then I'm going to have to pack everything up and move.
Yep, pretty much.
And I will very promptly unbox my Ranger so that I can frantically finish it before TRF. I'll be lucky if I've unpacked half my house by TRF.
Yeah, exactly.
And that doesn't even account for the fact that there's some pretty major construction that has to be done to it that I have to take time off of work for, incidentally, so it'll be fun. Amber, the house owner. No, not really.
Not yet. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yes, I know, Alan. If I could engineer a real Iron Man suit, I could retire on the money I would make. Not just from cosplayers, but from the military.
That's what they say. Here's the difference, Alan. One, it's a movie. Two, it's a comic book. Three, he's a billionaire. He's got the money that he can make it happen.
Well, I mean,
it's Tony Stark. Come on.
Given the proper science, which NASA has actually gotten into, by the way, NASA can make unfolding solar panels. They can actually make self-building polymers for buildings. I have seen the science. It is fan-freaking-tastic. We need to fund NASA. Politics aside, they do cool stuff that cosplayers can learn from. So they have
the science. That's how we got duct tape.
Yes, they have the science. We just need to actually convince NASA to build an Iron Man suit.
Oh, goodness.
For the sake of research and exploration, of course. Not for entertainment. No, not for entertainment.
No, not for entertainment. No, of course not. I think this is a good stopping point for the episode. Because now we're on such a tangent that it's like, what the crap?
I know.
There's no segue back into it. The segue has veered off and fallen over.
Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed our hijinks for this wonderful GlitchCon review episode. If you guys would like to contact us, of course, all of our various social medias where you can contact us. Make sure to get your entries in for the wig contest before August 23rd. Those of you who are preparing to go to Anime Fest, we wish you guys the best. Please send us your pictures and video, and we will be happy to share them. Likewise for those of you guys getting ready to go to Dragon Con. Otherwise, the rest of you guys, we will see you next episode in 2 weeks. Later, dudes.
Bye, guys.